News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
All of the focus continues to be on the Strait of Hormuz and its closure and the knock-on impact that that is having on global oil prices. So much so that the US is temporarily lifting sanctions on Russian oil to try to drop global oil prices. Mark Weiss is with us, who is Israel correspondent with the Irish Times. Mark, that would suggest that it is in danger of hurting the US administration politically if they're willing to lift sanctions.
Well, it's a compromise or a fallback position, if you like. There is a crisis, it's quite clear. The pressure on energy supplies is getting worse by the day, as long as the Strait of Hormuz remains closed. And it was clear yesterday from Iran's new supreme leader in his first official statement, although we didn't actually hear him speak, it was transferred via Iranian media that he wants the pressure on international oil markets to continue, and the Strait of Hormuz, in his words, must continue to be closed, and as well as this, attacks on the Gulf Arab states, the oil producers, will continue from Iran. So the pressure is clearly there. The prices have gone up on the global markets, and America, in response, as you said, has released the sanctions on the Russian oil exports for a 30-day period initially, in an effort to bring down the world oil prices.
And of course, one of the effects one assumes that has is, albeit a temporary but nonetheless welcome boon to the Russian economy, which has been suffering through the sanctions since the Ukrainian war started.
That's true, but it's clear at the moment for President Trump that his priority is the war against Iran. He will deal with the war against Iran and probably, after it ends, will reintroduce the sanctions on the Russian oil exports.
Overnight, reports that people have been killed in Oman, reports of 30 people killed or 30 people injured in Israel, and further strikes in Lebanon. Given what Donald Trump had said already about the level of military capacity that Iran has, one would have thought we would have seen a reduction in the amount of strikes. That doesn't seem to be happening.
There is, it's true, there seems to be a contradiction between these statements, both from the American and the Israeli leadership, about how well the war is going from their perspective, and the fact that both Iran itself and the Iranian proxy, Hezbollah, in South Lebanon, is continuing their attacks. The numbers of rockets have been decreasing, since the initial phase of the war, but it's a constant stream. And if you're living, for instance, in Israel, most residents are still very reluctant to go too far away from a bomb shelter. So it's very far from any return to normal life here. The war is ongoing, and it's very much a question of Russian roulette. A rocket or a drone can strike anywhere at any time. This is the nature of war, and it's very frightening here, and it's probably much worse for people living in Tehran and the rest of Iran and Shia areas in Lebanon, where the bombardments by both Israel and the American Air Force are relentless.
When you talk about the nature of war, one of the characteristics of all wars, and this in particular, has been the difficulty in trying to get to the truth of what is actually happening. And that pertains to the downing of an American KC-130 refueling aircraft in friendly airspace in Iraq. America is saying that it seems to be contact between the refueling tanker and an aircraft that it was refueling, and that caused the crash. Meanwhile, the Islamic Resistance in Iraq are claiming that they shot the aircraft down.
Yes, again, war, two different versions, two different narratives. Maybe only in time will we know the truth. And there is a rescue mission underway by the US Air Force to rescue the crew of that plane. We don't know how many people, they haven't released the details of how many people were on board. It's usually a crew of three on these giant refueling planes. It remains to be seen if they will be safely rescued or not. But again, yes, two different versions of one story.
And what about the impact of that domestically in the US? Because there have been photos, or rather there's been video running on American television of dead service people, albeit relatively low numbers of dead service people by comparison to previous wars, but nonetheless images of coffins returning home and reports that now a multi-million dollar aircraft has been lost. That can't play well.
No, it certainly won't. But as you mentioned, the fatalities, at least, are relatively low. Remember, this is a war on a massive scale. Hundreds of sorties are taking place every day, and there are tens of thousands of U.S. service people involved. And every war, of course, has military as well as civilian casualties. I think the numbers do matter. There is already a groundswell of public opinion in the US against the war. And this will definitely increase if the number of fatalities increases. And that's one of the reasons why President Trump and the US military are so reluctant to put any troops on the ground, even though there would be certain situations where this would definitely be called for instance, to extract Iran's enriched uranium reserves that were left in place after the 12-day war in June. But the US is very reluctant to do this because they don't want more US military casualties.
Mark, thank you. That's Mark Weiss, Israeli correspondent, or rather Israel correspondent with the Irish Times. 53106, if you'd like to get in touch, or 087-1400-106.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.